Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, 11 lines from the top, and resuming our discussion regarding the halacha of refuah on Shabbos. The Chacham made an iser for one to get engaged in acts of remedy, of curing and refuah on Shabbos for minor illnesses. The concern here is that he might get involved in preparing those ingredients necessary for his medicine and get those ingredients ground up on Shabbos, which involves the melacha of toichin. So the iser is only but for something which is obviously for refuah. But if he engages in ordinary activity, in which it's not obvious and evident that he's doing for refuah, then he may do so, even though it results in granting him remedy and cure on Shabbos. The Mishnah will give us some examples. Let's start the Mishnah. Hachoshesh b'shinof, one who feels pain in his teeth, lo yigamei b'enes hachoymetz, he should not sip through them vinegar, which strengthens his gum. And once again, this is a ma'aser refuah, which is a clear and evident ma'aser refuah, and therefore it's asur. Avol, says the Mishnah, metabalu kedarkoi. He may go ahead and dip into the vinegar, he may dip his bread, his food, kedarkoi, the way he ordinarily does it during the weekday. It's something which is an ordinary mealtime activity, and it's not obvious and evident that he's doing for refuah. V'misrapin israpi. Now, if his situation, his ailment, gets cured, that's okay, because it was not clearly done as a ma'aser refuah. It seemed like he was merely engaged in ordinary mealtime activity, and therefore it's mutter. Continues the Mishnah, Choshesh b'masnav. If one feels pain in his thighs, lo yosach ben yain v'chaymetz, he should not smear on them wine or vinegar, in which it would be obvious that he's doing it for its remedial powers. Aval sochus ha-shemen. But he may go ahead and smear oil on his thighs. Veloy shemen veret, however, not rose oil. You can use ordinary oil, in which it wouldn't be obvious that he's doing for a four. It's something which is commonly done, but he may not use rose oil, which is rare and expensive, in which it would be obvious that he's using it for his therapeutic value, and therefore it would be us. Continues the Mishnah. Bnei melachim, however, sons of royalty, princes, sachen shemen veret amakisein, they may smear this unique oil, this shemen veret, this rose oil on their wounds. Why? Because this is their practice. They commonly do it during the ordinary weekday, even without a wound. So for them, this is considered to be a common practice, and it's not clearly done for refuah. But an ordinary person, a common person, may not do that. Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael, B'nei Melachim, all of Yisrael considered to be princes, sons of royalty. Now, as Rashi explains a bit later, that Reb Shimon simply means to say as follows: you cannot discriminate between different groups. If it's permitted for one group, for princes, then you must apply this heter to all. The permission is granted comprehensively to all groups of people. You cannot differentiate. So if it's a mutter for them, then it's mutter for all Yisrael. All Yisrael have the same status of the Bnei Melachim. And indeed, Reb Shimon holds, they can all apply rose oil on their wounds. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Right off to the right side, it's actually three lines above the end of the Mishnah. So Rashi begins with the word masnisen, metabel kedarkoi. Mishnah says, but if he's engaged in ordinary eating, ordinary mealtime activity like dipping, Rashi says ma'acholo yupita b'chaymetz, he can go ahead and dip his food, his bread in vinegar, which it wouldn't be obvious that he's doing it for refuah, and if it heals his gums, then fine. Now we're speaking about the person who has feels pain in his thighs. Lo yosach ben yain v'chaymetz. The eino demsach oisay el refuah, because one does not smear wine or vinegar on himself. It's only done for refuah. Therefore, it would be obvious that it's for refuah and it's asur. But he can use ordinary oil, in which it wouldn't be obvious that he's doing for refuah. Avol lo yishem neveret. Not this rose oil. If yishadam of yikar, and it's expensive, and imatze, it's rare. U muchach hamilsa. And that makes it obvious to the full of it. He's doing it for curing his ailment, and therefore it's asur. But the Bnei Melachim, they may do so. Shekein Darkon, because this is their ordinary practice, Losach B'choil, to smear during ordinary weekday, B'loy Mako, even without a wound. So for them, it's considered to be common practice, and it's mutter. Reb Shimon says, this heter will be applied to all Yisrael equally. Continues the Gemara. Ramile Rav Acha Aricha, the tall Rav Acha, the who Rav Acha Bar Papa, who is Rav Acha Bar Papa, he asked the kasha, he posed the following contradiction. Lirabavo. Tnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Choshesh Bishinav, one who feels pain in his teeth, Lo Yigameh Ben Esachoy Mitzvah should not sift through them, the vinegar, Lememra. So apparently, the Choymetz Mali Lishanaim, do you mean to say that vinegar is actually beneficial to one's teeth, one's gums? Voksiv, doesn't it say, Ke Choymetz Lishanaim, Mekoshen Leinaim? This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Ke Choymetz Lashinaim, Mekoshen Leinaim, Keina Otzel Lishalchav. The Otzel, the lazy person to the ones who sent him. It's he makes it difficult on them, just as it's compared to the vinegar, which actually harms one's teeth, and to ashan, smoke, which harms one, which pains one's eyes. So we see that these things are not beneficial. So how can the Mishnah say that vinegar is meant to be meant to benefit one's teeth? It says Malay Kashya, it's not difficult. Depends what type of vinegar. Habakyu de pri. The pasuk in Kel is speaking about vinegar, which is derived from the juice of unripe fruit, and that's not beneficial. That's actually harmful. Habachala, and we should speak about ordinary high quality vinegar, and therefore it is beneficial to one's teeth. Vibay same. Alternatively, habachala. Both are speaking about ordinary vinegar. Hadikamaka, hadalekamaka. And we should speaking about a person who's suffering from an ailment, in which case the vinegar, it toughens the gums, and it provides healing. However, the pasuk is speaking about a person that does not have a makkah, who's not experiencing any wound, any ailment, in which case the vinegar actually harms him. Explains the more, ika makkah, if there is an ailment there, masi, then the vinegar actually heals him. Leka makkah, if there's no makkah present, marpi, then the vinegar actually ruins things, because as she says, it stiffens the gums, and the ends up loosening one's teeth. So in summary, the vinegar is actually good for one's teeth if he's using ordinary vinegar rather than vinegar derived from unripe fruit, unripe grapes. And number two, it needs to be applied to somebody who has a makkah. Only then will it be beneficial. Continues the Gemara, Le'igameh ben esachemetz. He should not go ahead and sip vinegar through his teeth in order to provide remedy. Vatanya says, haven't we learned in the Braisa? Lo yigameo pilot. One may not sip and then spit it out. Aval magameo boilea. But he may go ahead and gargle and sip the vinegar through his teeth and then swallow it. And now Mishnah, we have no distinction between swallowing and spitting out. Apparently in all cases it's usur. So you have a contradiction between our Mishnah, which prohibits in all cases, and the Braisa, which differentiates and says, well, he cannot do it if he spits it out, in which case it would be obvious that why did he ingest that vinegar? Simply, he gargled it simply for the sake of refuah. But if he actually swallows it, then it's not muchach, it's not obvious and clear that he's doing it for refuah, and it's mutter. So you have a contradiction. Amra baye, ki tnan nami masnisen, megameya poila tnan. In our Mishnah, when we have the words lo yigameya ben esachemetz, you know what the Mishnah is speaking about? When he sips, he gargles, and he actually spits out. But should he actually swallow it, that will be mutter, in accordance with the Braisa, which says that that case would be mutter. Rav Amar afilu tema, even if you'll say megameya ubeileya, even if you say that our Mishnah is speaking about sipping and actually swallowing it. How do we resolve the stira, if so, between the Mishnah, which does not allow, and the Braisa, which clearly allows in the case where he swallows? It says Rava, Kan lifnei tibul, Kan la'acha tibul. The Braisa, which allows, is speaking about lifnei tibul. It's prior to achila, prior to his mealtime, in which case the observer would simply say, well, he's engaged in his mealtime activity. This is his tibul, this is his dipping, this is the way he's taking his vinegar today. He's sipping it, he's swallowing it, so it appears like it's part of his mealtime activity. However, our Mishnah, which does not allow sipping, and even if he is swallowing it, is speaking about la'achar tibul. It's after his mealtime, after he finished eating. In which case, it's obvious. Why is he ingesting this vinegar? Obviously, he's doing for a four. So Rava makes that distinction. Prior to eating, it's mutter. After eating, it's asr. So the Mishnah is speaking about after his mealtime, in which case it's asr. The Braisa, which allows, is speaking about prior to mealtime, in which case it's mutter. It appears like it's part of his eating experience. Says the Gemara, how can you differentiate between prior to mealtime and after mealtime? Venema. Why don't we say as follows? If prior to his eating, it's mutter, la'acha tibul namishari. If so, you must extend that heter even to after tibul, even to after his mealtime. Why? Because you cannot differentiate. You can't say, well, there's a certain practice, a certain ma'aseh, which is usr only for part of Shabbos and mutter for the rest of Shabbos. You can't draw that distinction. If something is mutter for part of the day, then the heter applies throughout the whole day. You can't split the day into two. Where do we find this concept? Let's see. The Shamini Lil Rava, because we heard that Rav himself, we hear that Rav himself subscribes to this concept. The Isla Oil Hoyel. Rava subscribes to the concept of Hoyel. Hoyel means since. Since it's mutter for this, it's mutter for that. Where do we see Rava applying this concept? Dama Rava. Leka midi, the b'Shabbos shari. We don't find, we're speaking about Issa d'Rabbanon, that on Shabbos is mutter, ubi yama kippurim asr, and that same practice should be asr in Kippur. Hoyel b'Shabbos shari, since on Shabbos it's mutter, ubi yama kippur nami shari. Likewise, yama kippur will be mutter. Now Rava is speaking about the halacha of being toivel on Shabbos. We know one is not meant to be toivel, immersed a kli and a mikvah to be metired. It appears like he's being misakan, like he's repairing it. But a person, Adam, may go ahead and be toivel. The Gemara in Beit discusses the reason. It looks like he's simply maker, simply cooling himself up, taking a dip. Now the Gemara asks, that's fine for Shabbos, where a person may go ahead and take that dip, but in Yom Kippur, it's prohibited. So how can you say that a person may be toivel to immerse himself in a mikvah on Yom Kippur? There's no svara that he's nirukim maker, that he appears like he's simply taking a dip, like he's cooling himself off. On that, Rava responds, we're speaking about Issa d'Rabbanan, and that must be applied universally. It's illogical to say that this Isser is Usser on Yom Kippur and not on Shabbos. We don't differentiate. If this is an Isser which is Mutter on Shabbos, it's Mutter Yom Kippur as well. So these are the words here. Rava says, Leka midi de b'Shabbos shari. We don't find something which on Shabbos is Mutter, or b'Yom Kippurim Usser, and this Issa d'Rabbanan should be applied on Yom Kippur. Hoyel b'Shabbos shari, since the Chacham permitted tefillah on Shabbos, b'Yom Kippurim namishari, Yom Kippurim as well will be mutter. So we see this concept of oil. We don't differentiate, we don't draw those distinctions. Likewise, the Gemara says regarding the concept of taking the vinegar, if it's mutter prior to mealtime, if on this day, on this Shabbos, it was mutter at a certain time point, prior to mealtime, then it's not logical that suddenly, a couple minutes later, it should be asr. If it's mutter for part of the day, it's mutter for the entire day. Chacham did not differentiate. They applied their gzeiros comprehensively all across the board. If it's mutter today, then it's mutter for the entire day. So getting back to our discussion, we had a stira between the Mishnah, which said one may not sip the vinegar and the brisa, which allowed. Rava said, well, the Mishnah is speaking about after mealtime, where it's apparent that it's been done for the brisa, which allows. It's koidim tivel prior to mealtime, in which it appears like it's part of his meal, and it's not clearly and evidently for, therefore it's mutter. Says the Gemara, but according to Rava, we don't split days. If it's mutter for part of the day, it should be mutter for the entire day. We should apply the concept of hayo. Says the Gemara, hadar bei Rava mehach. Indeed, Rava retracted from this interpretation, and indeed he holds like a bayi. He holds that it's irrelevant whether it's prior or after mealtime, it would be mutter because of the concept of hoyel. And the way he reconciles, he resolves the stira between the Mishnah and Brais would be the way Abaye did it. Depends whether he is swallowing the vinegar, in which case it's mutter, or whether he's spitting it out, in which case it's clearly being done for a four and it's asur. So hadar bei Rava mehach, he retracted from this discussion, this interpretation mentioned Al Gemara. So this was the thing that he suggested first. Rava suggested this interpretation first, and then he changed his mind, retracted, and then he went ahead and said the concept of Hoyel, which we find in Maseches Beah by the Halacha of Tevila, in which we see that the Chacham applied their gzeiros universally without separation, without distinction. Says the Gemara, Mimai, the Mahachadabre. How do you know that it was this thing that he retracted from? So we have two presentations by Rava which seem to contradict each other. We have a how interpretation where he splits the day into two, prior and after mealtime. We have the halacha that Rava tells us in Maseches Beitzah, where the Chacham applied their gzeiros universally. So we have a contradiction. Which one did he retract? So how do you know that he retracted from this one? He was chayter from the one in Al Gemara, and he maintained the position that he presented in Maseches Beitzah, the concept of Hoyel, perhaps in the reverse. The one in Maseches Beitzah was said first, and then he retracted, he changed his mind, and indeed, he followed through with the position as presented in our Gemara, that we do draw distinctions within the day. We don't apply the concept of oil. Says the Gemara, Mimai de Mahachadabai. How do you know that this is the one that he retracted from? Dumamai Hiyadabai. Perhaps it was from the position taken over there that he retracted from. Says the Gemara, Lois HaKadaitach. This is not logical. Why? You can't entertain this thought. Why? Because we have a brisa, the Sanya, the brisa says, Kol chayav tefilas, all those who are required to do tefila, for instance, a yeledes, or these type of people that need to do tefila bezmana in a specific time. So the brisa says, Tevilin kedarkan, they may go ahead and immerse in their proper time, the way they usually do it, bein betes ba'av, whether it's on Tisha B'Av, bein b'yemek Kippurim. So clearly the brisa tells us that there's no concern whatsoever to be toivel in a mikvah on Yom Kippur, apparently, due to the concept of hoyel. Since it's mutter on Shabbos, because it's near a kimaker, it appears as simply he's taking a cooling dip, therefore we apply this heter to Yom Kippur as well. So since we see this clearly stated in the Braisa, it is logical to say that Rava conforms to the Braisa, and he applies the concept of hoyel. And therefore, we must say that that's the position that's more reliable, and the position taken in Al Gemara was taken initially, but then he retracted, he was chayzer from it, and he no more draws that distinction between koydim tibul and achat tibul. If it's mutter, it's mutter all the way. And if so, he adopts the resolution of Abaye, the teretz of Abaye, that the Mishnah by us, which doesn't allow the vinegar to be taken, is discussing taking it and spitting it out, in which case it looks like a refuah, as opposed to the brisa, which allows the vinegar, in which he's going and swallowing the vinegar, and therefore, since it doesn't appear clearly being done that it's been done for a fool, it's mutter. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, which is about 30 lines from the bottom, beginning with the words lo yigameya upoilet. So this is the brisa which says one may not sip and spit it out, because then it's clear that it's being done for refuah. Rava said, it depends. If it's lifnei tibul, lifnei achila, prior to mealtime, mutter, then he's allowed to go ahead and sip the vinegar. Shedarkon hoya litva b'chaymetz b'chol yoyim, it was their common practice to dip in vinegar on a daily basis. This was their regular mealtime manner. Varoya Omer, and the onlooker would simply say, Zeo Tibuloi, this is his dipping. So he's ingesting vinegar as part of his mealtime activity. Ul achar tibul also, however, after dipping, after mealtime, it's also why? Da'akol yoidim, because all will know, shekvar saw, everybody knows, akol yoidim, all know, shekvar saw that he's already partaken in his meal, but tavel kol tzarki, he's already dipped all he needed to dip. Why is he taking more vinegar? Apparently he's doing it for a fool. Says the Gemara, but how could you say, how can you differentiate v'neima, let's say, mudilafnei tibul shari, since prior to dipping, prior to mealtime, it's mutter. Likewise, afterwards it should be mutter. Why? De'enacha, we don't find something she'asher l'miktzas ha-shabbos, umutel miktzasei, something which is aser for part of Shabbos and mutter for the other part of Shabbos. De'ashaminin l'rava, because we heard Rava say, be'perek yomtev m'sechus beitza de'amar, Gabi Tvila, because Rava said by Tvila, Hoyl b'chiyai gavno. This concept of hoyl, hoyl means since. We apply the concept of since in this type of situation. Tani Hassam says over there, they might vilim kelim b'shabbos. We may not go ahead and immerse kelim in a mikvah on Shabbos to be matar the kli. V'odam toivel, however, a person may be toivel. Why? V'aminan, we said, kelim my time alay, why not kelim? Amarava b'nei shenira kimasak and kli, because it appears like he's repairing the kli. Aval adam nirakim maker. It simply looks like he's cooling off. V'aminan, and we asked, teinach b'shabbos, that's good and well for Shabbos. The shari rechitza, because one allowed to bathe. V'amakipurim, the asa rechitza, however, am kippur, which rechitza is asa, v'akol yoidim, all know the toivelu, that he's simply doing it for purity. Umasak and atzma, he's fixing himself, repairing himself. Michael Amemar. What can you say? Isn't there a reason to be geyser atum sakan or tzvi on account of fixing, repairing or tzvi leather? So one is not allowed to engage in acts of repairing and fixing on Shabbos. So how come a person could be tovel on Yom Kippur? V'amarava leka midi the iser Shabbos. There's nothing of a there's no Shabbos prohibition. The b'Shabbos listri, which on Shabbos would be mutter ubiyam kippurim litzer and will be aser Yom Kippur. Since on Shabbos we have no grounds to prohibit this practice of Yom Kippur Nami on Yom Kippur as well, like Gozer Alei, Chacham did not enact a Gzeira. So we see that Rava doesn't differentiate. Sakum and Algamar, Rava says, well, Koidim Tibul, it's Mutar, Acha Tibul, it's Asr. We should not differentiate. We should apply the concept of Hoyl. Since it's Mutar for partial Shabbos, it should be Mutar for the rest of Shabbos. Says more indeed, Hodabe Rava Meha. Rava retracted from the statement, the Koidim Tibul, that he said that it's only Mutar before Tibul. He retracted from that interpretation, Omuki Masnisen, and he establishes our Mishnah, which does not allow vinegar, B'megameo Pilot Ke Abaye, when he sips and then he spits it out, in which it's obviously be done for four. So this is in accordance with the interpretation of Abaye. Vezuna Mertchila, this interpretation, this position, taken our Gemara was taken first, V'hadarbe, then afterwards he retracted from it. Says, how do you know which one first? Dilma Mahi Adarbe, perhaps the position taken over there in that Gemara, to apply the concept of Hoyel, that was taken first, and that, from that he was Chayzer. V'savar, the Rebbe Kippurim also lit boil, and Rav indeed retracted, and he holds, one cannot be Tevel Yom Kippur, but lay Amrin and Hoyel. We do not say the concept of Hoyel. Fahi, Itom Beresh, and that position there was said first, and then he changed his mind. So the Gemara said, well, it can't be, because we have a Braiser, which clearly tells us that we are allowed to be Tevel Yom Kippur. Apparently we do apply the concept of Hoyel. So in summary, the Gemara comes out, concludes that Abaye and Rava both agree to interpret, to resolve, to say these teretz between the Mishnah, which does not allow the vinegar, and the Braisa, which does allow, as follows. The Mishnah speaking about sipping and spitting it out afterwards, in which it's obviously being done for four purposes, for its remedial powers, and then it is asr. Whereas the Braisa, which allows, is speaking about sipping and swallowing it after. Therefore, it's not obviously being done for four, and it's mut. Continues the Gemara. If one feels pain in his thighs, and the Mishnah discusses the Isser to smear wine or vinegar, but ordinary oil he may, because it's something which is commonly done, not specifically for refuah. However, when it comes to Shemen Vered, this rose oil which is rare and expensive, we have a machlekes. Tanakama prohibits. Reb Shimon says that Tanakama prohibits for ordinary person, but for a prince he allows. Reb Shimon says, well, if it's mutter for the prince, it's mutter for everyone else as well. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Abba Bar Zavda, Omar Rav. Halacha Reb Shimon. So Rav holds Halacha Reb Shimon, and Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim Heim, this rose oil can be applied to all Yisrael. Says Gemara Lememra, do you propose the Rav? Reb Shimon severely? The Gemara is assuming that if Rav adopts Reb Shimon's lenient approach, then apparently Rav adopts the Reb Shimon's approach, lenient approach to other Hilchas Shabbos as well. Is that the case? L'meimra de Rav ki Reb Shimon svirle. Do you propose that Rav follows Reb Shimon's opinion with regard to other leniencies by Hilchas of Shabbos? What is another example? Reb Shimon says, Dover shein miskaven is mutter. If one gets involved in an activity which results in an incidental malacha being done, which wasn't part of his initial intent, it was davar sheni miskaven, had no intent to that second malacha. According to Rav Shimon, it's mutter. According to Rav Yehuda, it's asr. Says the Gemara, do you propose that Rav adopted Rav Shimon's leniency when it comes to that as well? V'omar, Rav Simi Brachi, Mishmei de Rav. So you said in the name of Rav as follows. Hi, Mesechraya, Denizyaisa. So Mesechraya is the cloth, which is wrapped around the faucet, which is inserted into the Nizaisa, which is a barrel of wine, for instance. So they used to puncture a hole and insert the spigot, this faucet, and wrap the faucet with some begad to close up the gap so that it would fit properly. So so Rav says, this Mishchraisa, this begad, the Nizaisa, this barrel, Osur Laduke, one may not fasten it, one may not squeeze it in, B'yoyim Atava, even on Yom Tov. Why? Because of Schita. Because by doing so, he's squeezing the wine out of the rag, out of the material. And that's a malacha. It's a malacha of malabin. He's cleaning out the material. Some say it's a malacha of dash because he's extracting the wine from the material. In the case, Rav says it's asr. Now we're speaking about a double shame discovered. Certainly that's not part of his intent. He's just simply trying to tighten the spigot, the faucet there. So this is a double shame miskaven. And according to Rav Shimon, it's mutter. So if Rav conforms with Rav Shimon's halacha and double shame miskaven, why did he say it's usher? Says Gemara, by he, in that case, I feel Rav Shimon moedin. Even Rav Shimon agrees that it's usher. Why? Because it's inevitable. The Abayev Rav both said, Moider of Shimon. Rav Shimon agrees. He concedes to Rav Yehuda. When something is inevitable, it's an inevitable result of his act, then it's also, even though it's a Damashay Miskaven. So this is the classic example, Psik Reshe. Try cutting off the head of a chicken and have it remain alive. It's inevitable, it's impossible that the thing will stay alive. So the Rav Shimon is Moider in such a situation that it's also, for instance, in the case of the of this Mesuchra, in which case it's obvious, it's inevitable that this tightening will result in the liquid being squeezed out. And therefore, even according to Rav Shimon, it's asur, and that's why Rav said it's asur. Says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav." Didn't Rav Chiya bar Ashi tell us the name of Rav? Halacha Rav Yehuda. Then Halacha follows Rav Yehuda like Rav Yehuda that a davar shein miskaven is asur. So apparently, Rav does not concur with Shitas Rav Shimon. Rav Chana bar Ami Amar Shmuel Halacha Rav Shimon. So Rav was quoted as saying Halacha Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel was quoted by Rav Chana bar Ami as paskin as ruling Rav Shimon and Davashem Miskaven is mutter. We have another version of Chia bar Avin Masilah. He learned this teaching Beloy Gavri without the additional names, meaning directly from Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Halacha Rav Yehuda, or Shmuel Amar Halacha Rav Shimon. So his version was without the other people saying the name of Rav and Shmuel. It was a direct quote. Rav says Halacha Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel says Halacha Rav Shimon. So you have a kasha. We began with the Gemara with Rav concurring with Rav Shimon's shita, and here we see that Rav does not go along with Rav Shimon. He holds Davar Shein Miskaven on Shabbos as answer. Ella Amar Rava, Ani myself, Varisha Vachabura, the lion of the group, the strong one, the sharp one of the group, Targimna, we both interpreted, we both explained. Now, who is this Arisha Mechabura? Umanai, who is he? Rav Chiya bar Avin. So we both explained. Rav is saying, myself and Rav Chiya bar Avin both explained that Rav is actually not ruling like Rav Shimon. When Rav said that in the case of the rose oil, it can be applied in any case, not only to the princes, what he meant was as follows. Halacha Rav Shimon, the halacha follows Rav Shimon's shita that one may go ahead and smear the rose oil. However, v'lav mitame, but it's not based on his reason. Says, well, what does he mean to say? My halacha Rav Shimon, v'lav mitame. What does this mean? That halacha follows Rav Shimon, but it's not based on his reason. Ilema, are you going to say halacha Rav Shimon this shari? That halacha is like Rav Shimon that one may go ahead and apply the rose oil. V'lav mitamei, but it's not based on his reason. The Ilu Rav Shimon Savar Masi. Rav Shimon holds that the rose oil, it remedies, it has curing abilities. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon says, it's mutter because We can't discriminate between groups. If it's mutter to the, for the princes, then it's mutter for Chol Yisrael. That's Reb Shimon's approach. However, Rav doesn't concur with this. Rav doesn't agree with the basis of Reb Shimon's opinion. Rav Sabah, Rav holds, Loi Masi. He simply holds that Shemen Vered does not have curing abilities, doesn't have any therapeutic value, is not considered to be refuah. And that's why he says it's mutter. So it's unrelated to Reb Shimon's Shita. When Rav said, back in the beginning of the Gemara, we had a quote in the name of Rav, that halachic Reb Shimon, he didn't mean to say that I concur like Reb Shimon, that although the rose oil provides refuah, nevertheless it's mutter because we don't discriminate between groups. No. Rav is simply saying, factually speaking, halachic Reb Shimon, one may apply the rose oil, but it's for an entirely different reason, because it's not a refuah. So then everything works out. Rav never followed Reb Shimon's opinion, and he doesn't concur with his opinion, with his leniencies when it comes to Chol Shabbos. And therefore we see that Rav indeed rules like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Davar Shein Miskaven. So all works out well. Says him, well, one second, but there's a problem. V'sava Rav Leimasi, can you say that Rav holds that rose oil does not provide refuah? You can't say that. All agree, all opinions seem to agree, factually speaking, that the rose oil has that curative power. The fact that the Tanakhama in the Mishnah says, when it comes to rose oil, b'nei melachim, princes, sachan al gabim akasin, shemen verit. They're allowed to do that. They're allowed to smear shemen verit on their wounds. Michal damasi. Apparently, it heals. It has therapeutic value. Tanakhama says, I agree that it has that value, but I maintain that it could only be done for b'nei melachim. So apparently, that's factually speaking, all agree that the Shemen Verit is Masi. Tanakhama simply disagrees when it comes to the common people. He says this is only allowed specifically for princes, but not for common people. Whereas Reb Shimon says this heter is applied universally. Okay, but factually speaking, all seem to agree about the fact that the Shemen Verit has that power to heal. It says more, Ella, rather. Let's interpret as follows. When Rav said that Rav is ruling like Reb Shimon, v'lav mitamei, what he meant was as follows. Elo, halacha Reb Shimon, d'shari, v'lav mitamei. Halacha is like Reb Shimon, who allows applying the Shemen Verit to all people, even common people, v'lav mitamei, but it's not based on his reasoning. Reb Shimon's reason is because we can't differentiate, we can't discriminate between groups of people. Rav doesn't concur with that way of thinking. He doesn't concur with that opinion. He allows Shemen Verit, but for a different reason entirely. Dilur Reb Shimon Savar, Afal Gav Dlo Yishchiach Shari. Whereas Reb Shimon holds that even if the rose oil is not commonly found in this location, it's rare, it's expensive, and obviously he's applying it for the sake of refuah, it's still mutter, because we don't discriminate between groups of people. If it's mutter for the princes, then it's mutter all across the board. That is the opinion of Reb Shimon. V'Rav Savar, however, Rav holds, Yishchiach In. If this rose oil is commonly found in this locale, and it's used commonly by people even without any ailments, then it's mutter. V'lo yishchiach loy, but otherwise, it's not mutter. U'ba'asa de Rav, it happens to be that in the locale of Rav, shchiach mishcha de barda, it was common to find this rose oil, and therefore Rav says it's mutter, specifically because of the circumstances. In his location, it did not seem obvious that it's being employed for a fool, and therefore it's mutter. Let's take a look at Rashi inside here. 12 lines from the top, beginning with the words, Afagav lo yishchiach. So this is the opinion of Reb Shimon, that even though it's not commonly found, Afagav lo yishchiach shemen verit bimkoymei shal zeh ha'asach mimenu, even though the shemen verit is not commonly found in this in the place where he is, place of this fellow who is applying it, v'dami v'karm, and it's expensive, v'kol yoidim, all know, the she'eni sochel refuah, that he's only applying it for the sake of refuah, shari, it's still mutter. Why? This is Reb Shimon speaking, the Chol Yisrael b'nei melachim, all of Yisrael are regarded as princes, we don't differentiate between groups of people. Rabbi Yehuda Oyser, this is referring back to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, who Rashi learns to be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, no, you can't, because it's obviously being done for a fool. For Rav Nami could be this really. Rav concurs with Rabbi Yehuda's shita. He holds that it's aser. Hela, b'mkoyim Yehuda shari. Specifically in the location of Rav, it's mutter. Why? The shchiach, the sochen vered, shemen vered, v'loy muchach milsa. It was shchiach there. It was commonly done to apply the shemen vered, and it's not muchach that has been done for fun. Therefore, it was mutter. So in summary, regarding smearing shemen vered rose oil on one's ailment on Shabbos, so it depends. B'nei malachim, princes, certainly they're allowed to do this because they ordinarily apply this oil even without an ailment present. Therefore, it's not muchach that they're doing for refuah, and therefore it's mutter. What about your common person, kol adam? We have a machlekes. According to the shita of the Tana Kama, the Gemara concludes that it depends whether or not this rose oil is commonly found in this location. So if it's shchiach, if it's something which is commonly found, it's not rare, it's not considered to be rare and expensive. So it's allowed. One can apply this because it is not evident that he's doing it for refuah. It's applied even without an ailment present. It's something which is commonly used. However, if it is loy shchiach, if it's rare and expensive, in which case it is obviously being applied for refuah purposes, it's asur. According to Reb Shimon, we don't differentiate. In all circumstances, one may apply the shemen vered. We don't discriminate into different groups of people. If it is mutter for the princes, then this heter is applied all across the board. As Reb Shimon says, kol Yisrael, b'nei malachim. Hadran Allah Shmoyna Shvatz. Continues the mission. Ve'eluk Sharim. We are proceeding with our discussion of the malachis of Kosher Matar, tying and untying, which were found in the construction of the Malachas HaMishkan and are listed amongst the 39 Obis Malachis. The mission will give us the concept of the malacha of Kosher is specific to a Kesher, a knot, which is a Kesher Shal Kayama, of a permanent nature. So the Mishnah will give us examples. Ve'eluk sharim shechayav naleim. These are examples of knots on which a person is liable for tying them. Kesher gamalim, a knot of the gamalim of the camel riders, camel drivers. Ve'kesher saponim, the knot of the sailors. These are regarded as permanent knots. Continues the Mishnah. Ukshem shuchayav al kishurim. Just as he's liable for tying these permanent knots, kahu chayav al teirin. Likewise, he is chayav for untying them, because matter as well is considered a malacha. Ramei Omer, kol kesher, shuyach latirei, any type of knot, which he has the ability to untie it ba'achas miyad, merely using one hand, ein chayav an olav, they are not held liable for it. Meaning, even though this fellow did the kesher, shakayama, the intention was to have it remain, it was meant to be something lasting. Nevertheless, since he has the ability to untie it merely using one of his hands, according to Ramei, this is not regarded as a kesher shel kayam. Says the Gemara, we discussed kesher hagamolin and kesher hasaponim. Now, the way these knots worked was as follows. They used to pierce the nose of the camel and insert a strap through the nose and tie that strap, so create a sort of nose ring. Now, that knot was of a permanent nature. It was meant to stay in place permanently. Then they used to tie a leash onto that nose ring. So that knot from the leash onto the nose ring, that was not a kesher shel kayama. It wasn't meant to stay that way permanently. So we have two knots by the camel. Likewise, by the ship, we have two knots. One was the strap which was inserted through the hole in the ship and was tied together as a ring on the ship. And to that ring, they would attach a rope. They would tie a rope and take the rope and attach it down to the post or the peg on land to anchor the ship. So we have two types of knots present by the camel and by the ship. Now, which one is the Mishnah referring to when the Mishnah references the Kesher Gamolim and Kesher Saponim as being the true Ksharim on which a person is Chayiv, they are regarded as Kesher Shekayam, says the Gemara. My Kesher Gamolim, the Kesher Saponim. Ilema Kitra, are we speaking about the Kitra, the knot, the Katri, with which they would tie the leash of the camel, Bizmama, to the nose ring, which was actually affixed to the camel itself. Likewise, by the ship, the Kitra and the knot used to tie the rope of the ship, Beisterida, to the strap which was present on the ship. Says Umar, these knots, they're not permanent knots, they're only there while in use, while you need to use the leash, while he needs to anchor the ship. That's when he ties the leash to the camel, the rope to the ship. Hai kesher she'enoi shel kayamahu. This is not a kesher shel kayamahu. This is not something of permanence. It's merely a temporary knot. Ella, rather, what is the mission referring to? The knot present on the ring itself. Kitra, this mama gufe. The knot which is present on the ring itself, on the nose ring, is meant to stay there permanently. With the stari de gufa, and the knot which is present on the strap, which is affixed to the ship itself. So we're speaking about the knots in the nose ring, in the strap which is affixed to the ship, and those knots indeed are meant to stay there permanently. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, beginning back from the Mishnah. So it's around two-thirds way up the Amud, beginning with the words Ve'eluk Sharim. Says Rashi, Ve'eluk Sharim, these are the knots Hamanuyin Ba'avis Malachit, which are listed amongst the Avis Malachit, the Ketaniyah that says in the Mishnah, HaKosher V'Hamater, one who ties, one who unties. So these need to be a Kesher Shel Kayama, a permanent Kesher, Sheina Matir Lo'ilam, which he does not untie forever. It's meant to stay there permanently. How do we know? How do we know that that is a prerequisite, a precondition for the Malach of Kosher? Dumya, similar to Kosher, Chuti Yerios, Hanafsakos, similar to the ones who used to tie the Chute Yerios, the threads of the Kurds Hanafsakos, which would snap. So the tying there was a permanent tie, it was meant to stay that way for all time. Likewise, a Malach of Kosher is only involving a Kesher Shakayam. Kesher Agamolim, Kesher Saponim, the Gemara, the Farash, the Gemara will explain these. So just as he's chayef for tying them, kachu chayef ala tern, likewise he's chayef for untying these types of knots, kidalfinim ukal godla, as we learned earlier in the Dafayin Dalet, mitzayodah chalozin. How do we find untying in the Mishkan? We learned this from the trappers of this chalozin creature. So they would have these nets, shenitzrachim lefrakim, on occasion they would need to lahatir kishrei, rishtes hakayamos. On occasion, we have to actually untie the knots which were present in the rishtes hakayamos on the rishtes and the nets which were present, which were being used. Why? They need to adjust the size. Because they like tatran to shorten them, or the achim to widen them. So they will employ the concept of untying a knot as well. Rameh concludes that a knot which can be opened merely by using one hand, that's not a kesher shel kayamos. That he can untie it. The lo yahadke, he hadn't really made it tight enough, so he can untie it merely using one hand. It's a loose knot. Ein chayav in olav, he's not chayav. Afilu osel lechayav. Even if he did it as a permanent knot, his intention was not to untie it. Nevertheless, according to your mayor, that's not considered to be a significant enough knot. It's not a kesher shel kayamos. Continues Rashi. So we had the nose ring on the camel zumama. They would pierce for the na'aka, this type of camel, in her nose. They would place inside this, they would put through a ring of a strap. And they would tie it so that it forms a ring. And it stays there for all time. Now when he wants to tie the animal, wants to lead the animal, tie down the animal, what does he do? He takes a long ritzua, long strap, a leash, ties it onto that ring which is affixed on the animal. On occasion, he will untie this knot when he doesn't need the leash in place. Says the Gemara, Kitra de Kachi Bizmama, is the mission referring to the knot which is used to tie the leash to the Zmama, to the ring? Zeo Kesher Haritsuis, Shekoshrin, that they tie the Ritsuis, Bitabas, to the ring. Someone said it can't be, because that's a temporary knot. Apparently we're speaking about the knot which is present on the ring itself. Likewise, when it comes to the ship, is Tarida Gamhu, this is also Kamin Tabas, a type of ring, Sha'isimin Akal, which they form using an akal, some type of reed, Oimin Ritsua from a strap, and Nekev, Shubarisha Svina. So they put it through the hole which is on top of the ship, Va'isa Keshem Iskayim. Now, when they tie that strap or that reed, that's meant to stay in place. That kesher is of endurance. That's a permanent kesher. When he would like to anchor the ship, kesher ritzuah is a tabas. He ties a ritzuah strap, a rope, to that ring, which is affixed on the ship itself. And he anchors the ship with that. When he wants to unleash the ship, he simply unties that strap. that rope which is tied to the strap on the ship, Benegla, and he removes it. Kitra de kachi bistarida, this is the kesha de knot, which is used to affix the ritsu aruka, the long strap, the long rope, to the ring which is affixed to the ship itself. And as the Gemara concludes, that the only thing that we really regard as a kesha shakayam, a permanent knot, is the knot which is found on the nose ring of the camel itself, on the strap which is affixed to the ship itself, that is meant to endure, it's meant to stay in place, and that is considered to be a permanent knot, a kesher shakayam. Continues the Gemara. Rav Meir, I mean, kol kesher, any knot, any loose knot, which can be simply undone merely by using one hand, that's not considered to be a kesher shakayam. So if he ties that type of knot, he's not chayv. Says the Gemara, boy, Rav Achadvoy, achvi, the maracha. So Rav Achadvoy, who is the achvi, the brother of maracha, asked the following question. Aniva l'Rav Meir Mao, what is the status of an aniva, a bow which was done tightly? What about this type of kesher, according to Rav Meir? Now this bow, even though it's very tight, it can be untied simply by using one hand. So what is the halacha according to Rav Meir? Time of the Rav Meir is Rav Meir's reason, mishum because the yochel atira be'achas miyadavu, because he can untie the knot merely by using one hand. So likewise, in this case, in our case, he can undo this bow, even though it's tight in place, but he can undo it merely by using one hand. So perhaps this as well is not reckoned with, is not considered to be a kesher shakayama. So according to this approach, the formula of using one hand is actually a determinant, it's a siba, it's a reason not to grant this knot or this bow significance. And it's not regarded as a malach. Oy dilma, or perhaps, time of the Rav Meir, the reason of Rav Meir is mishum, because the way mihadak, because we're speaking about a loose knot. So since he can undo it with one hand, that indicates that's a loose knot, it's a flimsy knot, not reckoned with. It's not significant enough. Vaha mihadak, however, this bow which is tight in place, it's tight, it's not loose. So although he can undo it merely using one hand, the one hand formula, that's not a determinant, that's simply an indication. If the knot is loose enough that it can be undone with one hand, it's not reckoned with. But something which is actually tight, we never discuss something which is tight. And therefore, certainly on a tight bow, he'd be chayiv, teku, we leave it unresolved. So the question is whether the point of using one hand is an indication of its looseness, of its flimsiness, as opposed to a tight bow, which is considered to be a kesher, or alternatively, is the point of undoing with one hand, is that a determinant? So any type of knot which can be undone merely by using one hand is not reckoned with. So these are the two sides of the shaila of the question. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Continues the Mishnah. Yesh lecha kshar, you have some types of knots, she'en chayav naleim, for which a person is not liable upon tying them, kikesher hagamolim ukikesher sapanim, like those, well, we mentioned earlier, the kesher of the gamolim, the kesher sapanim, are considered to be permanent kshar. There are other types of ksharim which are not considered to be permanent ksharim, and one is not liable for tying them. Rather, as Rashi explains, there are some that are abanan because they resemble permanent knots. So they're pater from a chatas, but they're still asam derabanan. The Mishnah continues, Kaisheres isha maftei chaluka. A woman may tie the openings, the flaps of her garments, she can tie it together. V'chotei svacha, the straps of her head covering. Mishal psikah, the straps of the belt. Urtuis min of a sandal, or straps of the shoe or a sandal. V'noides yayin v'shemen, when we tie together the leather containers of the wine and the oil. Ukedei shalbasar, or a pot containing meat. They said tie it together using a garment. Rav Elazar ben Akiva Omer, koishu lifnei ha-behema, one may tie a rope in front of the across the doorway, front of the animal, to keep it inside, to prevent it from going out. Says the Gemara, let's analyze the words of the Mishnah. Hogufa kasha. The Mishnah seems to be inherently difficult. First you begin by saying amris, you begin by saying, yes, ksharim, there are certain types of not, shein chayav maleim, that a person is not liable on doing them, kikesha gamolim, ukikesha saponim, they're not regarded in the same level, the same status as those permanent knots, and therefore a person is not chayav for doing these knots. Chiyuvah delecha, there's no liability. It's not considered to be a melacha min haTorah. Ha isura eika, but we infer from here that there's still an issa, and a bottom one cannot do that. V'hadatani, then the Mishnah proceeds by saying, Koy sheres isha maftei chaluka. A woman may initially, she's permitted lechatchila to tie the flaps of her clothing. Afil lechatchila. So it seems to be a contradiction. Is this mutl chatchila or is it asum d'rabbanim? Says the Marahachi Kama, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Begins by saying, yes, there is a middle category of something which is a kesher, but it's not a permanent kesher, and therefore it's asum d'rabbanim. And then the Mishnah proceeds to give us examples of types of knots which are not even asum d'rabbanim. They don't even remotely resemble a kesher because they're meant to be undone same day. Therefore, they're mutl even chatchila. So actually, three categories. Let's see. Hachikama, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Yesh ksharim, there are some types of knots. She'en chayav naleim. The one is not chayav on them. Kikesha gamolim, ukikesha saponim. Umayinu, what is an example of these types of knots, which are not considered to be permanent knots? Nevertheless, one is not allowed to tie these knots. They're considered to be a kesha she'en shel kayama. As Rashi explains, sometimes a person will leave these, let them sitting for a week or two, so they resemble somewhat those permanent knots, but they're not really considered to be permanent knots. And therefore, it's only asum d'rabbanan. What are they? Kitcher de katri bezmama. That's the knot which they tie when they attach the leash to the ring, to the nose ring of the camel. The kitcher and the knot, the katri that they tie when they attach the rope, is terida, to the ring which is affixed on the ship. So these aren't really permanent knots. Nevertheless, they're asum d'rabbanan. Chiyuvu d'leka, there's no chiv. Ha'isur ika, nevertheless, it still is an isser in these cases. However, the Mishnah continues, there's a third category, v'yesha mutar l'chatchila. There are certain types of knots which are mutar permitted initially. They don't resemble whatsoever the concept of ekesha shel kayama. Umayinu, what is an example of those? Mishnah proceeds, Kosheris Miftachi Chaluka, Anisha can tie together the flaps of her garment, etc., as we go down the list in the Mishnah. So in summary, we have three categories of Kesher. We have the Kesher Shel Kayama, of a permanent nature, two examples of which are the knot present on the nose ring of the camel itself, the knot present on the ship's ring itself, which are of permanent nature. He's Chayev. This is considered to be a Kesher Shel Kayama and reminiscent of the Kesher employed by the Mishkan. Remes is a Chiddush. If they are loose and can be undone merely using one hand, he's putter. Dumar discusses whether this concept applies to a tightly bound bow. We have the next category, which is a kesher she'ene shel kayama, a temporary knot, for instance, the knot used to tie the strap of the camel to the nose ring, to tie the strap of the ship to the ship's ring. With these, he's putter, but it's asum d'rabbanan. We have the third category of types of knots, of tying, which don't even resemble remotely the concept of a kesher shel kayama, and they are mutl chatchila, for instance, tying the garment together, the straps of the shoe, the straps of the head covering, etc. These things are mutl lechatchila. Let's make a quick review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah telling us if one feels pain in his teeth, he could go ahead and conduct himself in an ordinary manner, in a way which wouldn't appear obvious that he's doing something for a fool, for instance, sipping and swallowing vinegar. If he has an ailment, pain in his thighs, he can smear ordinary oil, but not wine or vinegar. Regarding rose oil, Rav Shimon says, not only princes can do that, ordinary people as well, according to the Tanakhama. It depends. If it's common, if rose oil is common and is commonly employed, even in non-ailment situations, he can use that. Otherwise, it's apparent and obvious that it's a refor and he can't do it. We concluded with the malacha of kosher and matar. The Gemara gave us three categories. Kesher shel kayama, in which there's a chiv chatas. Kesher she'enu shel kayama, in which he is pater, but it's asum d'rabbanan. And finally, the category in which they don't even resemble kesher shel kayama whatsoever, tying the garment, tying the straps of the head covering of the shoes, in which case it is mutter, even lechatchila.